Well, I had a letter from my car the manufacturer, and it said to me this week that I need to book in my car because it needs reprogramming. There's a function in my car that's called hill start assist, which means it's actually to assist you if you have your car in gear and your foot on the brake to make the transition without going back and sliding into the car behind. So it holds for 2 seconds until you take your foot off the clutch and you start to move forward. And so actually this is designed actually to stop you having accidents and from crashing into the person behind you. So I need to book it in. But I just thought this week, actually, the word that God's given me, it's like I believe that when we come to the Lord, there's a tweaking that goes on. There's a reprogramming. Even this morning, as we've been worshiping and praying, it's like we kind of get back on track in so many different ways. We give to the Lord together. We worship. We encounter Jesus. We pray for people. We hear what God's doing. And our minds start to get into line with what God's saying. And our hearts start to move. And we're just like, actually, you know, I really love you, Jesus. It's great to start the week with a tweak. And that is the message this morning. It's about, actually, I'm going to bring something that actually I believe this message will stop you from sliding back from hill start and assist dysfunction. So just let's ask the Holy Spirit to recondition us and reprogram us this morning so that we will be able to, even on a hill, power forward. Because that's the point. It doesn't matter what the conditions are, we still can power forward in Christ. And the word that I'm going to start with is from Philippians chapter 4. Well, God's word to us. It's all the word. Philippians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 10. Because Paul's actually speaking about the church having given him a gift to empower him in his ministry. And verse 10 it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, because I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned, just home in on that, that's where we're going this morning. I have learned to be content, no matter what the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do everything through Him, Jesus, who strengthens me, who gives me strength. I have learned to be content. I have Jesus, Paul says. My circumstances might change a lot around me. I might go through many different seasons in life, maybe times when, I don't know, life's just rosy. But I can also go through times when it's not so rosy and it's more difficult. And Paul said, I have learned to be content in both minus and plus circumstances. Whether things aren't so good or whether things are good, contentment is what I have found. And actually, I believe that God wants us to learn the power of contentment. The power of it. It is a powerful thing to be content with what we have. Because I know that, you know, we are a church of faith. We believe in the promises. We're moving towards goals. God's got great things for us personally and as a church. But actually, it should never come out of dissatisfaction. And dissatisfaction is something that is known throughout the world. In fact, there was a very famous song written by a band, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Some of you may know the song. And it's like world over, there is this discontent, trying different things and those things not satisfying. Doing this and it not satisfying. Having a new wife and it's not being satisfying. And all the things that people go through to actually find true satisfaction. And Paul said, I've learned the secret, and actually it's Jesus. It's having Jesus in my life. And because I've got Jesus, I have the power to be content in the here and now. And if I've learned that secret today, I can live free from dissatisfaction tomorrow. It's been the same in every generation. I don't believe we are a more dissatisfied generation. I believe it's been a problem from the beginning, and I'll share the reason why I say that. But I'd like us to start with the humorous side of discontentment and being dissatisfied. And I was looking up some of the ridiculous complaints that people come out with, because one of the expressions of being dissatisfied is complaining. If you've ever been in the service industry, work behind a bar, which I have, or been a waiter or a waitress, you will know that there are many people who are dissatisfied. It wouldn't matter if you serve them the best meal in the world, they'll still find something that's wrong with the meal. And I read these two very funny complaints, which I think are funny. If you don't, I don't mind. And I know you won't complain. And this is one of them. On holiday to India, you don't mind if I enjoy this, do you? On holiday to India, I was, by the way, they booked the ticket, it's a holiday. I was disgusted to find out that almost every restaurant served curry. I don't like spicy food at all. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? To actually travel to India, land of the curry. And actually to say I'm disgusted that there isn't many restaurants that serve my kind of food. You know, any Englishman on holiday is renowned for where's the fish and chips. Anyway, that's not you. The next one. After a trip to a theme park, one angry woman complained to the park, the sun was too hot, it melted my ice cream. Imagine writing to a theme park saying, could you change the weather? I'm complaining because it was too hot. I bought an ice cream and it melted. And the thing is, dissatisfaction can creep into every area of life. And because we think it's the norm in our society, which actually it is, because without Jesus you can't be satisfied. There is no satisfaction without Jesus living in your heart. And so you'll find everything and anything to complain about, to say that isn't good enough. But what we have to protect is that coming into our lives as God's people, as His church, that we are not dissatisfied and living out of the wrong kind of drive for fulfillment in other things and not just Jesus. Because Jesus is our life. He has become our life. Think about it. Jesus is the life. Anything outside of Him, there isn't. In Him is abundant life. Life in all its fullness. And it's found in a person. Not in all that He does, but in Him. So Jesus, if He is the reason to live a satisfied life, a content life, to learn how to be content, means that we're more and more connected relationally with Jesus. The devil has been using this as an age-old weapon, dissatisfaction. It's an age-old weapon. If you think about a weapon, it's out to actually kill, to steal and destroy. And that's what Jesus says the enemy has come to do. And if we look at Genesis chapter 3, we go right back to the beginning of the creation of man, mankind, male and female. God made them in His image. God set Adam and Eve in a garden, and everything that God made was good, because everything that God is good, and everything that God does is good. And so they were in a place. You think if you ever might be content, it would have been in the garden. Do you think that there's a possibility that you could be content in that place? Well, they were. But there was a weapon aimed at them to tempt them into dissatisfaction. And Satan, in the form of a serpent, is very crafty. Say crafty to your neighbour. Crafty. Sounds like a Londoner, doesn't it? Bit crafty. Very crafty. He actually hisses his way into your life with little suggestions. And he's subtle and he speaks to try and divert you from the blessed life that Jesus has come to give. And he says to Eve, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you mustn't touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, hiss, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and ate it. And gave some to her husband, and he ate it. And guess what? They actually died. Spiritually, they were separated from God. And for the first time, sin entered into the world, into humanity, and the whole of creation fell. And since then, everything outside Christ is fallen. Jesus has come to restore and to win us back to God. But the reason he came was because of the sin that entered into the heart, this rebellion against God. Now, isn't it interesting that the serpent wasn't saying, look at everything that God has given you. Isn't it great? There were thousands of trees bearing the best fruit possible. They probably hadn't tasted all of them yet, because there was so much goodness and so many trees in that garden. But the enemy got them to focus on the one fruit they didn't have. Isn't that his crafty strategy? The one thing you don't have, focus on it. Not on the thousands of things you do have. So he tries to get you off what you have and onto what you don't have. And produces and tries to create in us a desire for those things. And that's called temptation. Because actually it wasn't God's will for them to have that fruit. And we know, because God's good, he's a good father, we know that he gave them the choice and the option whether they would obey God or not. And you and I constantly have freedom of choice. Will you do what God wants and do what he says in his word, or will you do what the enemy suggests is a better plan for you? Question. And I think it's amazing that this couple, who are full of the revelation of God, full of the goodness of God, everywhere they looked, they had vision and purpose in life, that they were so deceived into the one thing they didn't have. And it was the one thing that they didn't have that caused them to fall. I can imagine the enemy saying, well, it's not very nice to say that, you know, you have to do what you're told. Aren't you able to make your own decisions about what's best for you? Have you heard that? Isn't this going to make you feel better to do this? And the enemy just tempted them in through creating dissatisfaction in them for what they actually had. Now, I think it's a danger for me, and I think it's a danger for you, to not actually sometimes come into the garage, be reprogrammed, and say, actually, Jesus is enough. To be tweaked back to where we should be, content, because of the amazing, abundant life and all the blessings that we have in Jesus. And focus on the abundance and not on the few things that we don't have. He'd have said, you decide what's best for you. It's not freedom, you're a slave if you can't. And you know, God does set healthy boundaries around our lives. There are boundaries to living as a Christian. To not live to please yourself. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and love others. Love your neighbors as yourself. There are boundaries. There are boundaries not to even look after a woman, to lust after her in your heart. There are boundaries that Jesus actually said, this is what kingdom living is. And we need constantly the grace of God to live, the power of the Holy Spirit to live within those boundaries. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit, which is why he gave us his Spirit. He knew we couldn't. However, we are being constrained to live in the blessing and the abundance of Jesus without going off track after all the things that the world runs after. We're followers of Jesus, not followers of the world. But you know, you and I are subject to the advertising of this world, are we not? Have you ever seen a car on TV you'd quite like? I like those little Citroens. They look so cute. I don't know that I'd like to drive one, but when I see it, I like it. And that power of advertising, it's telling me all the time, isn't this what you want? And I believe the enemy can work through. I believe we should use advertising for the power of good. But advertising can always appeal to your senses about what you want. It's communicating all the time. You don't have the right car. You need a new kitchen. You actually need a new house. You see, the problem with you is you haven't got enough money. You need a bigger salary. The problem with you is it's not you, but it's your wife. If you had a different wife, I mean, you compare yourself with somebody else's marriage, watch it go down. Because the one you're with is the one that you're to be satisfied with. The husband, well, he's not quite what I thought he was going to be. And we can learn from dissatisfaction rather than being content with the very things that God has given us. What about kids? Or not having kids, are you content? What about being single? I'm asking you the question. Have you learned to be content in your circumstances now? Because it's the word that applies to every person here. Jesus is the power to be content. I am content in all things. I've learned to be. People get discontented with their church. They look around them and say, what? Do life with this lot? You're joking. They get discontented with their midweek groups, their faith groups. They get discontented with the worship, with the sound, with the chairs, with the stairs, with the lift, with the teas and coffees. I don't know. They get discontented with the door. It doesn't open as it should. And we can focus on what we don't have. Because you see, we're in a journey and we don't have everything yet. We're in a journey, guys. We're going towards the promised land. Everything that God has promised us, we're going to see. But we're on a journey. And it's on the journey that you learn to be content to where you're going. Because the power of contentment here changes the journey. It was funny. I managed to see my younger brother this summer for a day and his family. And my sister came up from Cornwall too. And honestly, I had the best day. And Joan, who's aunt of us all, great aunt of some of us, she was there too. And we honestly had the best day. Anyway, during the day, my brother happened to mention, now he's younger than me, and he happened to mention that he'd already paid off his mortgage. And I celebrated for him, because I want the best for them, I had this thought, I wish I'd paid off my mortgage. Because I got 17 years left. I started late because of my call. Because of my call, I started late. And I thought, 17 years? How old am I going to be? And he's younger than me. And I thought, this is all thoughts. This is a slight, this is an expression of dissatisfied. And I, praise God, immediately within myself went, oh my goodness, stop it. Yeah. Must have been the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Constraint. Let's get that break. Don't stop stop the slide back.
That's right.
Stop the slide.
Yeah.
Don't stop that slide, you're going to crash. Tweak. I had a quick tweak, and I said, Lord, you've been so good to me. It's a miracle. By the grace of God and the goodness of somebody else, I was able to even buy a house. I am so, so blessed.
Amen.
And you see, I was blessed when I could rent. I was content with the rent. And so I've learned to be content in all things. Isn't that amazing? And I realize I could have backslid with that dissatisfaction, that age-old weapon. And there's a slide that says it's a trap. That's a big trap. And I believe dissatisfaction is a big trap. You just start to go in and you're stuck. In fact, it damages you. And you know what happens is when we get into this dissatisfaction trap, we start to compare ourselves with other people. We start to try and keep up with the Joneses. I don't know who your Joneses are. You might have a few Joneses. We all have different kind of Joneses. I wish I had. I wish my marriage was like. I wish my life was more like that. I wish that I had more holiday. I wish I had a better job. My job, I'm disappointed with my job. I'm disappointed with my car. In fact, the wife, I'd like to do an exchange. There's so many things that actually seem to not actually be what I thought they would be. I didn't think I was going to live single. I don't like not having kids. It's a problem to me. I'm dissatisfied. In fact, I'm going to go break my boundaries and fall. Because that's what happens when you break beyond the will of God for you in your season. And dissatisfaction is a plague. And it will get you. You covet what other people have. You compare yourself. I wish I had hair like that. I wish I had clothes like that. I'm dissatisfied with what I have. And do you know it creeps into your food, your shopping basket, your office where you work. I wish I had a more comfortable chair. I'm going to complain to the boss about the chair. It's uncomfortable. I wish I had a better drive to work. It's all, you know, and I'm just speaking theoretically because you're all content looking at you. Completely 100% learn to be content. This message is just for me. Do you know, I love a recalibration with Jesus. It does me so much good. I come out so much healthier. I love Jesus. And over the summer, I've just been like, getting back to just, you know, Jesus is enough. Thankful. You know, I look around and I genuinely am thankful for you. I'm so thankful God brought us together. I'm not one of these, and you hear about all these frustrated pastors, and we've met loads. We go to pastors' conferences, and they're all there. I wish my church was this. I wish my church was that. And yes, there are goals. But you know, I thank the Lord for what we have. I thank the Lord for you. You are a gift to us. We're a gift to one another. I'm content. I've learned to be content. Right here, right now. And isn't that freedom? True freedom is living in contentment in the here and now. That means the enemy's trap. I'm going to walk round it and buy it because I'm not going in it. I'm not going to hit that trap. It's not having me. I'm not going to complain and grumble. And you know how complaint can come out in the most insidious ways. Oh, I can see you've done that again. I thought we'd sorted that one, but never mind. Really, there's a, I'm not happy with this. It's just a nice way of saying it, but behind it, you're dissatisfied. And, you know, I wonder if we had a bit of an appreciation day, whether it would really change our day. Not a depreciation day. Appreciation. Depreciation goes down. Up. Give thanks. Look at everybody and go, gosh, I can see all the good in that. There's a lot of good around me. I'm so grateful, Lord. I mean, it completely changes. Just try it for a day. And you might want to do it the following day. Because you'll find, and everybody else will say to you, what have you been on? Because I can't believe the kind of change you are to live with. Many times in the history of Israel, God's people failed this challenge. And in the book of Numbers, we read how they'd come out of slavery in Egypt. God had delivered them with a mighty hand. They'd even come out rich. And I love that. I mean, can you believe the audacity of going round all the Egyptians and saying, give us your money, your gold, your wealth, pop it in my bag. Oh, I'll get another bag. There's more. I mean, they left wealthy like us. We left the kingdom of darkness and entered into a rich inheritance in Christ. We're wealthy. And so they left rich. They were delivered from all the plagues. Wherever they lived, it was like an invisible shield around God's people. The plagues hit. The frogs, I don't know, whatever it was, the swarms. All the plagues hit everyone else. People of God, protected. Then when they left, they were being pursued by Pharaoh and his armies. And they saw God open the Red Sea. They popped through without bother. All they had to do was walk. They just had to pop through the Red Sea. They weren't going, oh, in the name of Jesus, stay up. God did it. They just walked through because that's what Jesus has done for us. We just walked through. We aren't saved by effort. We're saved by faith through grace. It's all a gift of God. They walked through. Guess who got swallowed up? Yes, Satan, Pharaoh, all the armies were defeated on the cross. Symbolic of the Red Sea closing up, shutting up on all your enemies. So they pop out of the other side of the Red Sea and they start moaning. Rich, no plagues, Red Sea, devil defeated. Couldn't be better, we're on our way to the promised land. We're not camping here, we're not living here. We're just on our way. They started to moan. We don't like the food. Sorry, God, don't. No, they didn't even say sorry. They moaned. They moaned about their current circumstances. They said it was a bit hard. There was nothing hard. They just had to walk. They got the cloud. They knew where they were going. The cloud would move. They would move. The fire at night. God was with them in the journey. And yet all they could see was the bit of food they didn't like. And wasn't it the trap of the enemy making them look at the one thing that was dissatisfying? to them. I have learned to be content, brothers and sisters, in all things, because Jesus is my contentment. He is more than enough. So they complained, they moaned, and life didn't go well with them after that, because complaining actually gets you into a difficult place. So backslide and accidents. Okay, so just learn. We've learned what doesn't work, church, from their testimonies and maybe from one or two of our own. I mean, I've been in situations where I found myself complaining about, oh, I don't like the preacher. I don't like the atmosphere here. I don't like this, I don't like that. And the Lord says, oi, 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 oi. They're my people. Look around you and give thanks. Stop moaning and complaining. And I really believe that culture is not of the church. The kingdom of heaven is not a culture that moans and complains. It's a kingdom of heaven that is full of joy because of who we have and what we have in Christ. And the promises that are yet to be manifest, we've got a hope and a future because of Jesus. And so if you want to live in a desert, start complaining, guys. Your choice. My choice. It's all our own choice. Still not satisfied. These Israelites were still not satisfied with what God had done. And if you could have a counseling session with the Israelites, the other side of the Red, just seeing the sea. Gold everywhere, dripping in wealth. You'd be like, what's the problem, mate? I can't see that there's a problem. Keep walking and you'll enter the land that flows with milk and honey. It's just a staging post. God will bring you through to every good thing he has spoken. David said it like this, one of my favorite scriptures. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a delightful inheritance. I am delightfully saved. I'm the most blessed person on earth. And if you've got Jesus, you are. Right now, you couldn't be more blessed than you currently are. You couldn't be richer and in a better place because Jesus lives in you. Stop looking at what you don't have and start celebrating what you do have. You need to recalibrate. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, in everything, give thanks. The antidote to being tempted to complain is to give thanks. Straight away to start to give thanks for what you do have. Yeah. Okay, your life may not be perfect. You may be struggling with certain things, but start to give thanks. And you will power out of that time, up that hill, get over that hill, and through it. Give thanks in everything, not for everything. Now, this it's important because some of you may not know this. We do not give thanks for evil. We don't give thanks for sickness. We give thanks in it, but not for it. We don't give thanks for accidents. We don't give thanks for pain. But in it we say, Jesus, you're here. You're my healer. Your kingdom is here. Thank you that your power is made perfect in my weakness, and right now the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. I thank you that your spirit gives life to my body and you bring victory in my circumstances. Amen. Give thanks for who you have and what you have in Christ, not for evil. We don't thank God for what the devil does. Ever. Never. We've come to destroy. We've come to see the victory over the enemy. To win over him, haven't we? Not to put up with him. So thank the Lord for that. This mentality, the grass is always greener on the other side. I say the grass is greener when you water it. You know, always looking for the other side. The next job, the next house, the next whatever. If you learn to water where you are, it will be greener your side than the other side. And the watering is thanksgiving. Look at that watering can. There it is on that beautiful, luscious, green grass there. The grass is greener where you water it. Water your marriage with thanks. Water your singleness with thanks. Water your job with thanks. Water that God is your provider with thankfulness. That will change everything. There is something called the hydro cycle. And we've had a lot of rain, which actually displays what's the result of this cycle. Mist rises from the earth, forming clouds. And then the clouds get ready and full, they drop rain. And sometimes I think God is waiting for you and I to be thankful, to get the mist to rise, so that the outpouring of the blessing of God can come, supernaturally bringing his power. Just think about, you know, we started this meeting this morning, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And give praise to his name. I can't remember the exact scripture, but how the people of God were in a very tight spot. The enemy was coming against them. And they were told to sing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now I must say that must have gone on for ages, because they kept saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And that's what they did. They kind of sent up the mist. The cloud gathered, and guess what? God set an ambush on the armies of the enemy. And they were defeated in one strike because God's people had given thanks and praised the Lord in their circumstances. In everything, give thanks. Water where you are. And you will find the blessing and the abundance of Jesus will be manifest in everything that you're living in.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.